Mr. Secretary General, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Miroslav, and many thanks to Globsec and to you, Robert, for hosting us here today. It's great to see you all. It's great to be here, and it's actually great to be back in Košice, because I was here briefly in July 1991, and that's many years ago, and so much has changed since then, because that was just a bit more than a year after the fall of the Berlin Wall, and the Soviet Union still existed, and this was not Slovakia, this was Czechoslovakia, and it was a very different Europe. Many things have changed. One thing that really has transformed Europe and this part of Europe is, of course, the enlargement of the European Union and the enlargement of NATO. And this year we celebrate the 70th anniversary of the foundation of NATO, but also the 15th anniversary of Slovakia joining NATO. And there are many reasons to celebrate and to be proud of that, but at the same time, it is extremely important to remember that we should not be complacent. We should not think that the fact that many things have moved in the right direction so far is a guarantee that we'll continue to move in the right direction. It is a great achievement that NATO has been able to enlarge with new members. You are one of them. And you are then part of the most successful alliance in history. And NATO is the most successful alliance in history for two reasons. One is that we have been able to be united, to stand together. And the other reason why NATO has been a successful alliance, a military and political alliance, is that we have been able to change, to adapt when the world is changing. I will briefly reflect on those two main reasons why NATO has managed what we have managed over these years, and then we will have time for some questions and comments afterwards. First, on the unity. NATO is an alliance based on the principle one for all and all for one. And as long as we stand together, and as long as we also convey a clear message that if one ally, one member is attacked, that is regarded as an attack on all allies, then we are safe, then we are secure, and we prevent conflict. Because we have to remember that the main reason for NATO, the main task for NATO, is to prevent war, is to prevent conflict, is to preserve the peace. And by sending that message to any potential adversary, that if one ally is under attack, the whole alliance will respond, then we are deterring any attack against any NATO ally. I come from a small NATO ally, 5 million Norwegians up in the high north, bordering Russia, but we have always felt safe, because we know that we are part of this alliance. And NATO has been key to preserve the peace in Europe for 70 years. There is hard to find any period in the history of Europe with such a long peace period. It's an unprecedented time of peace in this world, in this part of the world. And therefore, I think it is important to remind people of the fact that that war and conflict was the kind of normal situation in Europe for centuries. And after the end of the Second World War, we were able to create institutions, the European Union, NATO, and other institutions, which have helped to preserve the peace since then. So we are not... We are a defensive alliance. Our aim is to preserve peace. But as the old Romans said, if you want peace, you have to plan for war, meaning that as long as we are strong, as long as we are together, we are able to preserve peace and avoid a conflict. So that's the main reason why NATO has been able to deliver what we have delivered for then 7 decades. The other main reason is our ability to change, to adapt when the world is changing.
And for 40 years, since NATO was established back in 1949, until the Berlin Wall came down in 1989, NATO did actually only one thing, and that was to deter the Soviet Union. That was the only thing we did. And we were able then to end the Cold War without one single shot being fired on European soil. And after the end of the Cold War and the dissolution of the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact, people started to ask whether we still needed NATO. And it was said by some experts that either NATO had to go out of business or out of area. And we then did something we haven't done before. As we moved into the 1990s, we started to go beyond NATO territory. We helped to end two wars in the Balkans, Bosnia-Herzegovina and Serbia, Kosovo. We started to also address the global fight against terrorism with our mission in Afghanistan. And for approximately 25 years, the main focus of NATO was not to deter the Soviet Union because it didn't exist anymore, and Russia was actually becoming more and more a partner of NATO. But our focus was beyond NATO territory, beyond Europe, fighting terrorism, managing crisis beyond our borders. Then after Crimea in 2014, the illegal annexation of Crimea, we had to turn back again and again focus on Europe, a more assertive Russia, using force against the neighbor Ukraine. But at the same time, we need to continue to be part of the fight against terrorism. We saw the caliphate of ISIS. They controlled, you know, a territory in Syria and Iraq at equal to the size of the United Kingdom, 8 million people. So we then, since 2014, actually, the task of NATO has been both to fight terrorism, manage crisis beyond our borders, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, but also to focus again on collective defense deterrence in Europe. We don't have the luxury of either fighting terrorism or focusing on collective defense in Europe. We have to do both things at the same time. And I'm actually quite impressed by NATO, by the way we have been able to then again to adapt, again to respond to a changing and more unpredictable security environment. We are then now faced with another kind of security environment than in the first years after the end of the Cold War. We see Russia using force against neighbors, as they have done in Ukraine. But what really is also of concern now is that Russia is violating a cornerstone arms control agreement, the INF Treaty. For decades, the INF Treaty, which is a treaty not limiting but actually banning all intermediate range weapons, has served us all well. It has helped to reduce tensions, to ban a whole category of weapons. Now Russia is again developing and fielding, deploying these intermediate range weapons in Europe. We continue to call on Russia to come back into compliance with this treaty. We don't want a new arms race. We don't want a new Cold War. We actually want dialogue with Russia because Russia is our neighbor. Russia is there to stay. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we continue to deliver credible deterrence and defense also in a world without the INF Treaty and with more Russian missiles in Europe. This is just one example of how NATO has to respond to new security challenges. The fact that there are now more Russian missiles being deployed, nuclear capable, that are able to reach targets in Europe. The last thing I will say to you before I sit down and answer questions is that I know that many people ask the question, why, how can NATO continue? Because you disagree on so many issues. And we see, my answer to that is that, yes, there are differences between NATO allies. We see differences on trade issues, on climate change, on issues like, for instance, the Iran nuclear deal. We have seen internal discussions in NATO about burden sharing, defense investments. But the lesson we have learned is that despite these differences, NATO has always been able to overcome them and to unite and stand together again around our core task to defend and protect each other. Because we know that we are stronger together than alone. And by preserving peace, we create a foundation for stability. Stability is a precondition for economic prosperity and development. So therefore, it is in our national interests to stand together, despite that we are different in some ways. We are joined by the common idea of that we protect each other and thereby preserving the peace. So thank you so much for being here today, and then I'm looking forward to answering your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jens, for your excellent remarks and for your leadership in steering NATO in a very difficult times.